We'll move on in the order of our calendar to House Bill 1241, an act to revise the elements of the crime of stalking to include certain forms of harassing communications. Senator Hick, you are the prime Senate sponsor. Unless we have Representative Hunhoff. Oh, Representative Hunhoff is here.
Yes. Okay.
Welcome to the committee. Jane, good to see you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm here this morning to ask for your support on House Bill 1241. The internet is an amazing place, but the fact that it is a wonderful place to work, play, and study does not mean that the users shouldn't be aware of its dark side. The web mirrors the real world, that it contains electronic versions of real-life problems. Stalking and harassment are problems that many people are familiar with offline. These problems can also occur on the internet in as what has become known as cyber stalking. We have no universal definition of cyber stalking. The term refers to the internet, email, or other electronic communication devices to stalk another person. Stalking involves harassing or threatening behavior by an individual, such as following a person, appearing at their person's home, place of business, making harassing phone calls, leaving written messages on objects, or vandalizing a person's property. The internet is also exposing our children to new threats. The federal law enforcement agencies have encountered numerous instances in which an adult pedophile has made contact with minors through online chat rooms, establishing a relationship with the child, and later made contact for the purpose of engaging in criminal activity. A net stalker is a person who uses the internet to invade another person's space. The net stalkers range from annoying, helpful, to terrifying and threatening their victims. Many stalkers try to gain knowledge and personal information about their victim via the computer. The internet relay chat lines are the easiest way for the stalker to find their prey. Chat lines are friendly conversations among users, allowing the stalker to listen and pose personal questions. They can log on to your account while you are online, gaining additional information. Currently, there are 22 cyber stalking and related laws on the books. There have been many examples of cyber stalking crossing over to online stalking. Sadly, those who have been targets of cyber stalking all tell a similar story. No one took the time on online harassment seriously until it became an offline. The truth of the matter is that online stalking is just as frightening and distressing as offline stalking, and just as illegal in many jurisdictions. This bill clearly is needed to deal with a growing form of harassment. Current law provides little or no ability to prosecute someone for the purpose of leading or encouraging others to engage in the behavior that will harass or terrorize another person. This behavior can be likened to writing "for a good time" call on a bathroom wall. But the growth of the internet, this sort of activity can be done on a much larger and far more damaging scale. Often in these cases, people are actually engaging in harassing behavior and not intending to harass the victim. A person could create an advertisement for a car, include the victim's phone number, instructions to call after midnight. The resulting calls would have the effect of harassing the victim, but the callers would be attempting to purchase a non-existent car, not trying to harass the victim. The malicious nature of the act stems from the behavior and ill will of the person who sets the others in motion. The actions can range from something as blunt as a direct call from others to harass to something more subtle, like using the victim's identity to solicit contact at odd hours from a person. Jurisdictions across the globe are now beginning to take legal action against the stalking behavior, recognizing it as a problem which merits attention. The effects of stalking upon an individual may include behavioral, psychological, social aspects. Specific risks to the victim include a loss of personal safety, the loss of a job, sleeplessness, and a change in work or social habits. These effects have the potential to produce a large drain on both the criminal and justice resources and the healthcare systems, and it is therefore in the best interest of authorities to take swift action when cases are presented to them. I did have two witnesses that were going to appear, but due to scheduling problems, they were unable to be here. What I'm going to hand out to you is a copy of their testimony, and I'm going to very briefly summarize that for you. The first is from a police officer in the Yankton Police Department who's been employed since 1982. She says, "Ultimately, as the internet is good, there is also a negative side. Complaints of criminal online activity continue to grow each year. Enforcement is currently struggling how to deal with a virtual world for policing manners. Recently, I investigated an internet case in which a 17-year-old girl decided to run away from home. She met a man on the internet, found his residence in Alpena, South Dakota. The man was 41 years old. Parents have found love letters and notes exchanged on the computers. Many times you're trying to deal with the situation, there are no laws there. In October of 98, I received my first internet case. The Yankton High School principal reported that he had received email from an unknown source. Later, they were able to track that email. Since the internet uses a telephone connection, I first looked at a law entitled Threatening or Harassing Telephone Calls as a Misdemeanor. This specifically covered only telephones and did not fit the elements of this particular crime. After several more lookups, I found simple assault was the closest. However, the suspect was identified and admitted to writing the emails, but was never charged with the crime. In October of 2000, a 15-year-old female reported she had gotten 7 threatening emails from an unknown source. The suspect was identified as a 17-year-old man who was attending school with the victim. However, he was never charged, but was committed to a mental institution for evaluation. And then in January of 2000, this case was not as clear. A husband and wife went through a bitter divorce several years ago. The husband continued to harass his ex-wife. What he did, he placed his ex-wife's name, social security number, workplace, work number, home number on the internet, and it brought to the attention this man's ex-wife. He also wrote, anyone wishing to contact her about an account or insufficient funds may garnish her pay at this address. She has 3 trials this year in Yankton for no account of checks, and she may be incarcerated in the future. She will also receive over $1,000 in an income tax return. Please pass this on. In summary, criminals are committing old crimes like stalking and assault, now using new techniques and tools. The issues surrounding the internet will constantly need to be reviewed. We need to have law enforcement doing our best to appropriately deal with these situations. The second is a letter from a victim. A little more than a year ago, I sat down to my office computer one Friday and saw the image indicating I had received email. When I opened it, I could not believe the messages that were on there. I contacted the head of information technology at the institution, and we started a follow-up. It took a very long period of time before they identified she was on Hotmail. They told her she needed to come off. However, no matter what she went on, she continued to reach the email. Police enforcement became involved with it. After several weeks and months of trying to figure out, she said, knowing that the sender was so determined to hurt me, he was making such a continued effort, I did not know where it might leave. Finally, an arrest was made. Although the internet makes access to the world possible, it wasn't someone from 1,000 miles or even 100 miles away. The person arrested had the office next to mine. After several weeks, he was indicted by the grand jury, and several weeks later, a trial date was set. The day before the scheduled trial, his attorney stipulated to the state's evidence, and the judge found him guilty of stalking. He was fined, ordered to reimburse the county for the costs incurred in hiring the necessary computer experts in order to complete an anger management program. How could this happen? I live in a small city. One contributing factor is a readily available of sites at which a person can access the internet without putting a personal ID into the system. Some of you may be thinking to yourselves, but it is only words and nobody can really get hurt. I believe that verbal abuse is about power and control. Who can predict when a person will move from words to action? Someone who makes the effort to repeatedly contact an individual only to express hatred and abuse may not be predictable as you think. Of great concern is the possibility that the stalker will progress from words to action, physically harming the victim. In my opinion, any reasonable person who reads the emails that I received would be offended and feel threatened. I thank you for your time, and I will be available for questions.
Are there any questions of Representative Hanoff? Are there any questions? If none, thank you very much. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1241? Any further proponents? Mr. Fox.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Fox. I'm a registered lobbyist with the Network Against Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault. We rise in support of 1241. The House bill, as you see, it has been amended in the House side, and it specifically goes down to the new Section 3, and I think the language is very good. It's willfully, maliciously, and repeatedly harasses another, so you have to prove the same element you do in a following or harassing of another. I think it's appropriate that this time that the state looks at expanding that type of activity when you talk about electronic, mechanical, telegraphic, or written communication as being included in our stalking laws. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Fox? If not, are there any further proponents of House Bill 1241? Any further proponents? Representative Michaels.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Very briefly, this was in addition to the testimony of Representative Hunoff. I've had other circumstances with individuals who actually are clients, but they're people who work for their clients. That in my clients are primarily staffed by women, and obviously with what happens in society, with breakups, divorces, separations, and a number of other things, the new communication tool is the internet. And I have actually in the last year dealt with three circumstances where individuals, women, have received emails that were threatening. They had expletive deleted language. They had language in there that said, I was going to kill you, and traced back to individuals that actually could follow through with those threats given their background. At the very least, as you look at the bill and the history and how it serpentined through the House, there was a provision in there to add to simple assault. And thankfully, we took that off because it was creating a lot of angst. But at the very least, it clarifies Section 1 of the stalking statute. At the very most, it does provide a specific hat rack to hang that hat on so that these individuals can be prosecuted and dealt with. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Michaels? Question, Senator Hulick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I understand, Representative Michaels, the new verbiage, except that could you give me an example of what we're talking about when we list mechanical?
The thinking was in looking at a number of other statutes that electronic or mechanical, a Palm Pilot might be mechanical versus electronic, and we were just trying to cover the waterfront.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, telegraphic? Telegrams?
Yes.
I mean, does anybody send telegrams anymore?
Actually, they do.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, okay. It's kind of like the phone card thing. A lot of people don't, but they do send them.
Thank you.
Yep.
Are there any further questions?
Yep.
If not, thank you very much, Representative Michaels.
I'll send you a telegram.
Any further proponents of House Bill 1241? Thank you. Any further proponents of House Bill 1241?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. On behalf of the South Dakota Sheriff's Association and the South Dakota Chiefs Association, we support this legislation. It's frustrating to officers across the state to receive complaints of this kind of thing and not be able to do much about it. So we think this fills a hole that's existed, and we support it.
Thank you. Any questions? I would ask all those who are testifying to please sign the register at the podium. Any further proponents of House Bill 1241? Any further proponents? If not, are there any opponents of House Bill 1241? Any opponents? If there are none, we will close to testimony and open to committee discussion and motion.
Chairman,
Senator Moore moves to pass.
Second.
Seconded by DeHurick. There's a discussion. If not, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Bone?
Aye.
DeHurick?
Aye.
Angie?
Aye.
Kessel?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Ugar?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
70 ayes, no nays.
House Bill 1241 goes out to the to the Senate floor on a, with a due pass recommendation. Senator DeHurick, move consent. Is there any objection to consent? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll go out on the consent calendar.